You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, welcome in. Today on our show, we've got Dwight Stewart from Arkansas's 1994 National Championship team in studio with us. Ethan Westerman will also be here as we talk about Arkansas and Notre Dame. First, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
All right, we've got Dwight Stewart from the Arkansas National Championship. We've got about half the team here actually in our studio today. I wasn't expecting this. We got Alex Dillard, Clint McDaniel, Corey Beck. You brought a lot of your friends with you today, Dwight.
Yeah, you know, they just support. You know, that's how we do it. The guys, we stick together. So, you know, just coming to hang out with me, support me on this weekend.
So you're going to go into the University of Arkansas Hall of Honor this weekend. When you got the call, what was that phone call like? Was it something that you expected you would ever get?
No, that's something that I never expected, you know, when I got the call, because I was at Paul's when Coach Z called me. But once he kind of went over the information with me, I was kind of excited about it. I called my wife, and Coach Z told me the athletic director was going to give me a call. So he gave me the call the next day and kind of went on a couple of things, and he can grab me. I was, you know, really excited. I was like, man, this is real. So, you know, it's something big, you know, something that I never, you know, expect.
You live in Memphis. How often do you get back to Fayetteville?
Not much. You know, I would love to get back more, but with business and things going on, it kind of keep me kind of tied up. But, you know, this one here, I had to come back, you know, for this special weekend here. So.
And then obviously you got your teammates here. A lot of these guys have come from a long way too. I mean, are there more than just the ones who are in studio with us here?
There's more. Scott and Corley is here. They just got something else going on, but we'll link up a little later.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's it like when you guys get together all these years later?
It's just like we never left. You know, we just pick up like from the last game. Honestly, a lot of people like that's strange, but. The relationship that all of us have, you know, we all stay in contact, and we always doing something, you know, Little Rock or the state of Arkansas. So it's just some norm. We just got that bond. You know, we've been had it when we first met each other on campus, and it just carried over the years playing, and then, you know, as we got older, it's still just going.
Does it ever get old, reliving the championship?
No, it don't, because, you know, it's in too many people can sit back and talk about them, you know, memories of things like that, you know, what we accomplished as a group. And then, like I said, again, the number one key, the bond that we had, you know what I'm saying, the love we had with each other. So, like you said, everybody here, you know, to be able to get that, all my teammates come back to support me in this, you know, so that's something special.
What do you think about Razorback basketball right now with John Calipari
I think it's in a good place, you know. I was really, you know, proud of the run they made last year to come back. You know, they looked good. So, you know, we had a slow start. But I think Cal is the guy to get us where we need to go, you know. Coach Musk did a great job and, to get to the Final Eight and all that, you know. But again, we set the bar so high, our group did, but the guy that can do it is Cal, you know, bringing the talent in and try to make it happen. So I'm excited about it.
The summer I took my son to, we were in New England for a family vacation, but I took him to the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield. And I was thinking about that the other day. Somebody was talking to me about, like, when was excitement this high for Razorback basketball? And I would say it was probably that year when you guys went up there. You're the defending national champions. You played UMass. Obviously, they won. But to me, right now, this feels about, without the championship component, this feels about as close as it maybe did to 30 years ago.
Yeah, it did, you know. But, you know, like I said, that was years ago. And now we just got to move forward with it, you know, and Cal, you know, I just think he's the guy to get it done.
You grew up in Memphis. You lived there. Obviously, you've seen a lot of, or I would think you've probably seen a lot of John Calipari teams in Memphis, and certainly what he did at Kentucky. When you knew that, or when you found out that he was going to come to Arkansas, what were your thoughts about what that meant and what it might mean for the program?
I was excited about it because, you know, to leave Coach Musk leaving to be able to back that up with him. Because my first thing, I was like, who are we going to get, you know? So I heard something about Coach Sampson, which recruited me. That's who I signed when I came out of high school, Kevin Sampson.
Okay.
It was kind of rumors counting with that, you know what I'm saying? And then I kind of figured he would leave Houston. But when they brought up Cal, I was like, oh, that'll be the perfect fit, you know, to try to get us to the next. Because that's what it's all about. Arkansas want to get to that next step. You know, they've been missing that for over 30 years, so it's a, you know, it's a rush to try to get that.
I wanted to ask you about coming to Arkansas. Somebody told me that, was it the UNLV game in 91? Was that your recruiting visit?
No.
No? No. Okay.
I was in JUCO.
Okay.
I was in JUCO. We watched the game, but it wasn't the year.
So tell me about, what was your visit like, and why was this the right?
It wasn't. I didn't take a visit to Arkansas.
Really?
You know, I didn't. I was in JUCO. Corey took a visit in high school.
Okay.
Him and Irma. But I was giving, I didn't even have Arkansas on my list. You know,
mm-hmm.
like I said, I committed with Washington State. So, but when I went to JUCO, and you know, we all wanted to play together. So, Coach Richmond was still recruiting us
mm-hmm.
in JUCO. So, you know, he wanted me to be on board with it. So I decided to come with Corey, and we came up here because Elmore was already here. Because
mm-hmm.
we had to do the 1 year of JUCO.
People talk all the time about Arkansas pipeline to Memphis. Todd Day, Ron Hurey, Arlen Bowers, so many great players that had come from that city even before you guys got here, and then there were three on the championship team from Memphis. Was there anything to wanting to continue that Memphis pipeline? Was there anything to you had seen some of the guys who maybe you had grown up watching had come here? Just kind of take us into that.
No, I think it was kind of like a flow type thing for me, in my opinion. You know, Ron started off, and then, you know, he got it going. Then when Todd came, we all mm-hmm. knew each other. And then, you know, like I said, when Coach came in recruiting us, you know, he had his certain eras of kids, you know, that he wanted to recruit. And then we just, you know, decided, you know, it's close to home, you know, got the guys over here, and, you know, Todd was talking to us, so kind of convinced us to, you know, to come on over.
Tell us about playing for Coach Richardson.
Oh, man, that's a lot of stories. You know, Coach was a hard-nosed type coach. He was tough. You know, he was just, you know, he was just like, every day was just, just like that barrel type growl, you know what I'm saying, every day. So we worked it hard. He just believed in, you know, his system.
Mm-hmm.
It took us a while to, you know, kind of feed into his system the way he wanted things done. But, you know, we eventually, you know, fed into it. And, you know, like I said, we was a good group, and that's why we made history.
I think Darrell Hawkins told me one time, he said that when you guys would go run Cleveland Hill, he said Coach had a blue Astro van. And he would put a cassette in playing "Don't Worry, Be Happy"
yeah.
as you guys were running up the hill. What do you remember about the? Because it feels like Cleveland Hill's kind of taken on this legend of its own and how it helped prepare those basketball teams.
Yeah, I don't remember the van, but I remember the white Lincoln.
Okay.
He's getting the big Lincoln and follow.
Maybe it upgraded by that time.
Yeah, he used to follow us in the Lincoln, you know, sit back and go slow and follow us running up the hill, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Cleveland was no joke back then either, so. But I remember that, though. He just sit back in the car and just cruise. Sometimes he'll go past and then make a loop and come back and try to see who, you know, behind and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would any of you cheat?
No, we couldn't cheat.
Okay.
You know, this thing about it, we couldn't cheat because sometimes he had the trainers doing. We couldn't cheat. We had to run it. So we couldn't cheat. It wasn't no cheat.
Mm-hmm. How much did that help prepare you guys for the type of style that he wanted to play?
Mentally toughness, condition, everything. Like I tell my son, a lot of kids when I was coaching AU, I was talking about the medicine ball, weight ball. They ain't know nothing about that. Like we just had to do drills, figure eight, without a ball, just running with the big, heavy, 50-pound ball,
mm-hmm.
throwing at each other. Some things we had to do. Then 17s and suicide. You know, just run you till you just, man, you had to go throw up. That's how bad it was.
Mm. I want to talk to you about the championship season here in just a minute. But the first year that you guys were here, because it feels like 93, 94 probably doesn't happen without some of the groundwork that was laid during that 92, 93 season. What was that season like, and how did that prepare for the championship campaign?
Well, you know, it prepared us for a lot because, you know, we knew we had some talent, but we was kind of undersized
mm-hmm.
that year, and we would just play fastball, basically. You know, just hustling and doing what we was doing. We needed some size. So as we played the season, we knew we had a lot. You know, we accomplished a lot. But when we got to that the Sweet 16 against North Carolina, we ran across a little size, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so once, as the game was going on, you know, we gave them a good run. Actually, I felt that we could have really won the game. We just made a couple plays that kind of gave them the advantage. But we had the size, and that's when Coach made some adjustments with Darnell and Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And then that summer, we just had a chip on our shoulder. We were all going to come in. We're going to stay in the summer, work out, get better. And we just played, got stronger, and just conditioned. And then, you know, they came down in the summer early, worked out with us. And so everybody just was here just, you know, just getting bonded in. And so that next season came, all of us just had a chip, a mission that we was on. You know, we knew that we was on what we was going to do.
Of course, you opened Bud Walton Arena that year too. So it just something about exactly. that season felt like it was just, I don't know if meant to be is the right word, but it just felt like there was something really special about that season, even before you guys made the run to the championship.
Yeah, it was special because everything was new. You know, the new arena, you know what I'm saying? I was moving into the arena, then with the new attitude about getting that taste, getting to the Sweet 16 that first year with the group that we had. And we just wanted to have, you know, something to prove. You know, we knew we had the talent. Mm-hmm. We had all the pieces. We knew it. And Coach kind of, you know, built that in our – and we convinced us that we had it. And we just, you know, really, really excited and just came out against the opening night against Missouri and made a statement that, you know, we're here. Mm-hmm. And that would happen.
I think back to those years, 94 and 95, the two runs that you guys made to the championship game, and the coaches that you guys beat who were on the other sidelines. I mean, you had John Thompson, Tubby Smith. They both won national championships. Mm-hmm. Steve Fisher won a national championship at Michigan. Lute Olson won a national championship at Arizona. Krzyzewski, we know what he did. Jim Boeheim, Dean Smith. I mean, like, these were not just – kind of your everyday run-of-the-mill team. You were beating great teams that were kind of in the height of their success.
Yeah. But for us, you know, like I said, you know, they've been had that for a while, which we had talent. And Coach was a great motivator. Hmm. You know, I mean, people used to speak about it a lot, but sometimes, you know, he should get more recognition for it. But with the talent that we had so much talent, and everybody accepted their role. We had a lot of guys could have went a lot of different places. Mm-hmm. For him to be able to put that unit together and get everybody to understand what we wanted to get accomplished, we had to sacrifice, you know. And I know it was teams, big coaches and all that. You know, we just a little Arkansas team. Wasn't, you know, like Duke or Georgetown, you know. Mm-hmm. So we had to go out and really fight, you know, to get that name and prove ourselves.
I've heard people say that if you took Arkansas starting five out of those years and you put the next five in, that's still a team that's going to go far into the tournament.
Oh, definitely. That's how deep we was. And a lot of people didn't. A lot of people really didn't understand that and really didn't – they usually watch the games, but if you just come to some of our practice and see how we win at each other, and you'll be like, man, like Davo Remot, you know, can flat out run, don't mm-hmm. never get tired, shoot the ball. He can do so much, but he wasn't able to do a lot of things that he could do because of the system that we played in. And so a lot of people didn't really get to see his real talent, but they saw it. Mm-hmm. But so, you know, but in stretches and different things in the game, it kind of showed a little bit. You know, that's why, you know, okay, Scotty playing bad, Davo come in and, you know, step up, make big plays, make big shots. Like, where this kid come from? Mm-hmm. But it's in him, though. You know, he been had, he just don't get the as many rep as Scotty get. So, you know what I'm saying? Much as minutes that he get, so.
When you think about the years that you were here, do you think about what happened in Charlotte? Or do you think about maybe things that happened
in
off
Charlotte?
The floor? Yeah, winning the championship in Charlotte. Is that where your mind goes first, or do you think about the days in practice, the days with your
– No, I really think about everything because, you know, how we started, how we came together, and mm-hmm. then, you know, to be able to get to that point. You know, we put a lot of work in, you know what I'm saying, a lot of work, a lot of frustration, angry. You know, guys got stuff on their mind, you know, teammates kind of like, man, it's going to be okay, you know. So that kind of helped a lot because, you know, we had a lot of things going on with the team, with players. Me personally, at times I was like, man, I don't think I belong here. I don't want to be here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Teams had to talk to me and, you know, because I had the bond. And so that kind of helped me. And then moving forward, that's when I got better. You know what I'm saying? But I love everything about it. I'm glad I stayed. And like for us getting to Charlotte, man, to get down there, we had a ball. We had so much fans. I'm talking about. It was crazy to be at that stage, to have that many fans to be, you know, to come support us.
Tell us about how unique it was, because you had the President of the United States that was following you, too. I remember Coach Richardson said something after the championship, said, win a national championship, cut down the nets, get a hug from the President. Doesn't get much better than that.
I don't. You know, Clinton, you know, he was a big supporter. He came to a couple games that year. I can't remember exact games.
Mm-hmm. But, came to the last three.
Yeah. But, man, like you said, the President, you know, come to the game, then come in the locker room, you know, shake your hands and, you know, do all that. It's, you know, that's some special memories.
Tell me about what you've done since you left Arkansas. What's your career been like?
When I left Arkansas, I went overseas in Europe, and I played like 13 and a half years. Played in, like, Italy, Spain, been in a lot of different countries and played in South America, too. So once I finished up, I kind of started, you know, getting into my business. Mm-hmm. With the flipping distressed properties with me and my wife and doing that. So basically, that's what we've been doing the last 20 years or more, doing that. So it's been good. It's been a blessing. So basically, that's what I do every day, you know, and go home, man. I don't do much. I'm a chill type guy.
I think you would probably agree with this. I've seen where the Naismith Hall of Fame, they induct full teams sometimes into the Hall of Fame. There's been a good number of the guys from your championship years that have been inducted into the UA Sports Hall of Honor, Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame. To me, it feels like that entire team ought to go into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but, I'm excited, man. I'm just excited what I'm getting because, like I said, it's something, you know, that I didn't expect, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I'm happy. I'm thankful to the Arkansas Foundation, all the people that supported it, that voted, thought about me. It's a blessing. Yeah. So, you know.
Well, I'm glad you're getting your time. It's a shame that it took, 30 years since you guys won a championship to do it. I just hope that in the future, players like Al Dillard and players like Davor Remots and Lee Wilson and Darnell Robinson, who were such an integral part of that, that they can, and even the assistant coaches from that team, everybody down to the managers, I hope that they can get their they can get in the Hall of Fame one day.
Yeah, I hope so too. Whoever the powers be, hope they can make it. But like I said, my number was called, so I'm thankful, man.
Well, hey, we appreciate you being here. Congratulations on getting into the Hall of Honor tonight. I know that's a really cool deal for you, and it's great seeing you. Well, we hear the retrospectives of '94. We don't always hear from Dwight Stewart, so it's great hearing you and telling your stories about those years.
Appreciate it. Glad to be back, man. Glad to be back.
All right, Dwight Stewart from Arkansas's national championship team. When we come back, Ethan Westerman's going to join me here in studio, but first a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. That was fun, having Dwight Stewart and the 94 championship team in here, or several members of that team. I want to mention, with Dwight, I wanted to give a shout-out to the company that he works for in Memphis. He works for Classic Key Construction and also Bella Vista Sunset Resorts. He said that's an Airbnb and short-term rental company. So we appreciate Dwight Stewart being in here, and certainly congratulations for him going into the UA Sports Hall of Honor tonight in Fayetteville. That's going to be over at the Walton Arts Center. Several notable names in this. You've got Ryan Mallett going in, obviously, posthumously this year. Clint Sterner, part of this. James Rouse, great football player at Arkansas in the 1980s. Zach Cox, one of the great Arkansas baseball players. So really a loaded class of inductees. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They're committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by now and see them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Ethan Westerman's here with me. Ethan, when the basketball players walked in, I made sure to tell them that you were a manager for Mike Anderson.
Yes.
I think I said GA at first. You said I was giving you too much credit. But, first thing they said, well, that makes you part of the family, man.
Yeah.
It's really cool to me. All the years that Richardson and Anderson were the coaches at Arkansas, you could see it whenever Mike came back. There's just a – like, they really do consider it a family between those two. It doesn't matter if it was, the players in the late 80s or the early 90s or the late 90s or during Mike's tenure. Those guys really feel a connection to one another.
Yeah, they really did. And you could sense it when they came in the room, too. I mean, how special is that you're getting inducted into your university's Hall of Honor and all your teammates want to come here and be with you for. And it's not like they're like just showing up for the, the ceremony. They're wanting to spend time together this week. And it's all part of, honestly, a big buzz that I feel like I wasn't feeling it yet. And then I got down to Fayetteville today and you can just feel it in the air. I mean, there are a lot of people in town,
there are a lot of people,
a lot of traffic. And I just think it's really cool that you have, that whole team coming back to be a part of it. I mean, there's so much surrounding this weekend, I feel like. And I live in Rogers, and that's where the opposing team always stays at Notre Dame. And I felt it last night. I saw Notre Dame fans, because usually the fan bases will stay in the same city that the team is, and they started piling into Rogers. I just saw tons of Fighting Irish shirts. This area, the traffic was really bad on my way down here today, and I was like, I think this is a part of just all this going on at once. all these people being in town, and of course, you know, having the whole championship team here for Dwight's induction, and then for this big football game, first of a kind football game. It's cool to see. But to your point, yeah, no, I think that kind of the brotherhood that those teams had, it's really evident. I mean, that was really cool.
And they're coming in from a long way away. I mean, Corey lives here in town, but you had Clint McDaniel came in from Las Vegas. Al Dillard, who was in here, came in from Alabama. Corliss is coming in from wherever he's coaching now. And Scotty Thurman lives in Little Rock. They said he'll be up here for this. I said Todd Day is coming in for this. So, and Dwight, by the way, and all of the inductees will be honored on the field at the football game tomorrow. Let's talk about the football game. Yeah. Arkansas and Notre Dame. Has anything about this week changed, like maybe now versus what you felt Monday about this game?
Not necessarily. I just think that we're in a situation where both teams kind of, it's almost like same word, different font, if that makes sense. Like both teams are in kind of the same boat right now as far as what they're concerned with. Mm-hmm. I will say, we're going to get to picks later, I know. I feel better about Arkansas now just based on Notre Dame. From everything I've looked at Notre Dame, I mean, like, their fans are already calling for Chris Ash, the defensive coordinator who was here at Arkansas in 2013. They're already calling for his job. And, I mean, Marcus Freeman's really blunt, too. I mean, he's flat out said this week, like, we had a meeting, staff, and if changes are needed, changes will happen. Like, I mean, it's the same boat with Notre Dame and Arkansas where their defense is just letting them down a lot. And so it's an interesting storyline on a lot of fronts. I mean, I always love whenever a game feels like it has multiple layers of storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting that for this matchup that, you know, of course you have the Lou Holtz element, a legend of the sport at both schools, coach there. He's going to be in town. So you have that element. You have, I mean, first of all, it's the first time these teams have played. So that's a storyline in itself. And then whenever you actually get to the teams right now, how similar of a spot they're in. I know Notre Dame carries a ranking by its name and very well could, like we say with Arkansas, they are like two plays away from probably being number one or two in the nation. I mean, if you beat Miami and you beat Texas A&M, they're going to be one or two right now. Miami's number two. So it's just crazy because both teams feel like they're so close to having a different perception about their season right now. But here we sit with an important game for both teams, because I really do think for either one, this game could kind of set the trajectory of the season.
Do you think it's going to be a shootout? Because everybody's expecting a shootout this week with the way that the defenses have played. Maybe barring turnovers, is there any way that you could see the defenses playing up a level that we haven't seen?
I could see one of the defenses maybe having like a breakthrough game and they figure it out. But this doesn't give me the sense of like this is going to be a close, low-scoring game. I think you're either going to have a shootout where one team, it's almost like who has the ball last, or you're going to have one defense figure it out and you're going to have a lopsided like score that nobody's anticipating. That's kind of the vibe that I get. I just think when you have two defenses with enough question marks like we do in this one, I think that you have you wouldn't get both defenses figuring out in the same game, I don't think. And whenever you have two offensives like these ones, I mean, I think they're going to score against most defenses, Arkansas and Notre Dame. So I think that it's just the type of matchup that sets up to be a shootout. I don't even know what the over, like the total is,
I think,
right?
It's 64.5.
Yeah, which I could
which
see.
Which feels
it.
Low.
I was about to say, I could see it going over that, but I mean, Vegas knows a lot of the time. But yeah, I don't see a low scoring game at all.
We'll see. I mean, it's one of those deals where I feel like in college football, when you go into a game expecting one thing, the game usually delivers something totally different to you.
Yeah. Well, see, and I'm right there with you. On Arkansas's, that's what I'm saying. I could see like Notre Dame's defense figuring it out and having all the success against Arkansas out of the blue, even though I think Arkansas matches up really well. But I've gotten to the point, I'm like, the past 2 weeks I've said I think Arkansas is going to have a shootout, and they have. And I think I'm at the point, I'm like, I think that they're just going to have shootouts every time they play.
I wonder how much of a toll that takes on the offenses. And you would put Notre Dame in this category, too. That feeling where you're multiple weeks now where you feel like, potentially, if the defenses don't play well this week, where you feel like, hey, I feel like there just may be a little bit of a toll there, that pressure to continue to perform at such a high level. That's probably unsustainable.
I'd agree, and I think that you're going to get to a point with both teams, honestly, where unless you see drastic defensive improvement, I think you got to start, if you get a lead Say you go up by two scores, you got to start running the ball and trying to run time off the clock. I just think that right now you're in too much of, like, for both teams, honestly, like a trying to just keep up game. And I think that the more you can just drag out a lead and bleed some clock, it benefits you. So I could see if Arkansas gets up a score or two, trying to establish the run game and just keep feeding it. I could see Notre Dame, if they get a lead, just keep on feeding Jeremiah Love and see what he can do. But you're at a point, yeah, where I think that there's so much pressure on the offenses for both teams that it's kind of find advantages where you can. And, I mean, use the clock to your advantage if you can.
It's been a busy day here in Fayetteville. I was at the University of Arkansas Board of Trustees meeting this morning. They're meeting here in Fayetteville. It's a regularly scheduled meeting. They meet, I think, about five, six times a year at different campuses across the system. Hunter Yurecek spoke there. He tried to clarify the comments that he had made at the Little Rock Touchdown Club last week. You can read the full story at our website at wholehogsports.com. But maybe one of the key quotes that I thought was in there, he said, talking about when he spoke at the Touchdown Club last week, he said, quote, "I left out one key word, and it was well, that football is not as well positioned as many of our other sports to compete for and win national championships." I'll tell you, the feeling I had being there, just reading the body language of the trustees, and obviously, you know, listening to their comments, not everyone addressed Yurecek, but several of them did. The feeling I got was, you know, if his job is in danger, like a lot of people I think have felt it might be just because of the situation with football right now, I did not feel that there today.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I got from your story from reading it. I mean, I wasn't there, so I'm going to turn questions kind of back over to you. But the sense I got from reading your report is the Board of Trustees in general, they think – I mean, Hunter said it was a misunderstanding of kind of what he was trying to say.
And one of the trustees, Ted Dickey, said the same.
That's what I was going to ask. It felt like, from what I read, that the Board of Trustees was understanding of where he was trying to go with that.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's not me or you sitting here saying we agree or disagree, that like that is what kind of the vibe was.
Well, this was the quote from Ted Dickey, who spoke the most of the trustees. He said, in the comments made at the Little Rock Touchdown Club, "I know what you," meaning Yurecek, "meant, but it wasn't obvious, and I want to give you a chance to clarify that." Ted Dickey said he thought Yurecek's comments at the Touchdown Club were, quote, "misunderstood." He also said the 10 board members are, quote, "committing to help football," period. Kevin Kraft, a board member, he had some comments to that, basically saying that the campus needs to make sure there's a top-down idea about what they're going to do about not just football, but athletics in general.
Yeah. And I think
he said he felt like he felt the trustees' role was to ensure that that took place.
And I think that the question that everybody asks whenever they hear something like that is when they say there's a commitment to, like, what is that?
It's financial.
Can they do it? Like,
that's a good question.
It's like, because right now, the way Hunter speaks about it, there's a big gap. And they're fighting a big gap. I'm like, whenever you get support from your board saying that they're gonna be committed to it, it's like, what does that look like? I mean, of course we know it's a financial, but are you gonna be able to try and get Arkansas to the same playing field as school XYZ that's competing for championships? Like, is that something that a board of trustees can in itself do? Like, because I mean, the way Hunter has kind of talked about it the past few years, it's more like, I think this is why fans are so frustrated. It feels like a lot of like, we need more fan support. We need the fans to come through more. We need a lot of more grassroots with the NIL, like the comments last year at the Touchdown Club when he compared it to Ole Miss. I think that that's where there's like a, you know, the gray area of like, can this be done without a strong fan NIL base? And I mean, also, all this is so crazy to talk about right now because with all these, the legislation with the SCORE Act and all this stuff like happening that, this could change in a year, and all the stuff we're talking about, if there actually becomes enforcement of rules, could become like negligent. But it's for right now, I think fans are frustrated because it feels like a lot of blame is being put on them. And then by the athletic director. And of course, nobody wants to feel like they're being blamed constantly for that. Yeah. And then now fans will read this and they'll be frustrated because they'll think that there's not football support from the Board of Trustees because it seemed like they were kind of backing Hunter. It's A lot of, I feel like, pointing fingers.
One of the things he said, and I didn't even write this, I didn't get into it because there's only so much you can write. He did say that he thought their revenue projection was in a really good spot. Their two-year revenue projection, I think, is something like $210 million, whereas right now it's $181 for this fiscal year. But he made the point, he said, that there's seven SEC teams, based on numbers that are 2 years old, that are already at that $210 million level right now. And so that's kind of, he mentioned a couple of times, that's the steep hill climb, or the steep hill, I'll get this right, eventually, the steep hill that Arkansas is trying to climb.
I'd say the steep heels that we saw were in this room earlier. Those guys are tall. Boy, anyway.
how far did you have to lower that chair down?
It was way down. But it is one of those things where it's like, Hunter definitely has stressed, at least today from the comments he made, stressed that he feels like football, the reason that they're not positioned well, he wants that word to be emphasized, is because of how steep the hill is right now to get on the even playing field that he doesn't say exists with the other, you know, the sports on campus that are, that you can kind of make up for that with some things financially. But it's kind of like, at what point is Arkansas always going to have a hill? Like, is it just, are you trying to reduce how steep it is to compete?
We're in Fayetteville, so the answer is yes.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Very true. But it's like, is there like a threshold that you're like, if we can get to there, it's not as steep of a hill, and we can make up for lack of maybe finances with how well we operate?
It's always going to be an uphill battle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been an uphill battle since they joined the SEC.
Yeah.
This is not the Southwest Conference anymore. It's an uphill battle that they have to climb. Sometimes I feel like they're better equipped. We saw in the Houston Nutt, Bobby Petrino years where they were better equipped to win. I thought Brett Bielema was potentially going to get them, not necessarily over the hump, but maybe back to that level. And then for whatever reason, some people say it was things going on in his personal life, he didn't get them there. And then, you know, they fell behind during the last years of, or last year of Bielema, the 2 years of Chad Morris. And so that, you've already got a financial gap that you got to make up, and now you have to grapple with about 4 years of irrelevancy. Mm-hmm. And it's a tough deal. We'll see if they can get there. If you want to read the full story, though, it's at our website, wholehogsports.com. Headline is, at Board of Trustees meeting, Arkansas AD Hunter Yurecek addresses football comments. Also got a story there today. Arkansas is in the final stages of agreeing to a contract with Learfield that will allow Learfield to sell stadium naming rights. And again, you think about, how do they make up that ground? $4 to $5 million a year in stadium naming rights. That makes a difference. There are some things that they think they can do. Basketball, they just went through the reseeding process. They've added about, Hunter said today, $10.8 million, which we've heard him say, in new annual contributions to the Razorback Foundation. He said, but as part of this reseeding process, there was also about $9 million in just one-time gifts. Mm. And so the donations to the foundation are somewhere in the $19 to $20 million range. Because of this reseeding process. You can only do that once, or once every so often. But
imagine them going through all this right now without John Calipari as the men's basketball coach.
Well, remember, the reseeding thing was met with a lot of fury when it was first announced, because the basketball team was like 1-5 in the SEC at that time. They announced this on a Monday or a Tuesday, the week that they went to Kentucky and won at Rupp Arena. And that win on February 1st at Rupp, that's like the line of demarcation where people have forgotten everything that happened before February 1st.
Exactly. And it's since then, there's nothing they love more than a team that kind of defies odds and takes you through a whole wave of emotions just to come through better on the other side. And that's what that team did. And it was, this is kind of crazy. I bumped into John Calipari at a coffee shop in Fayetteville not long after their season. He stopped and talked to me, and he told me, he said, man, wasn't our season just like, Bob Holt would have loved covering that one. I said, you're right. I think that it was such a, just a, so many storylines. It made fans feel good about a team they can get behind. And all I'm saying is, going into all this financial stuff right now, where you're like a Bud Walton reseeding plan and, you know, trying to make up all this ground financially, like, where would they be at right now? And, like, as far as chaos and how people feel about the entire athletic department without John Calipari as the men's basketball coach.
And the run they made at the end of the year.
Because that is right now.
Because even if he would have been the head coach, I don't know that there would have been as much enthusiasm had the season not turned, had not pivoted the way it did.
Yeah. I'm about to say, John Calipari and Dave Van Horn, I'm like, having those two in your department right now, having fans who love those teams,
mm-hmm.
you got to have those. I don't know what this would be like right now if you had two teams that were like, say, let's in another world, basketball team didn't recover from the start, didn't make the NCAA tournament, baseball got eliminated from a home regional again. I'm like, I don't want to know what the chaos level would be right now. It's already not great, but yeah.
All right, let's look at games around the SEC this weekend. There's some good games. Arkansas-Notre Dame is certainly one of those that fits into this, but it's the only big non-conference game of the weekend. A lot of conference matchups. Finally, we're starting to see teams play SEC versus SEC. And the first big one, well, there's two at 2:30 Central kickoffs. You've got, first off, number 4 LSU at number 13 Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a 1.5-point favorite at home, even though they're ranked lower. You think they win this?
I do. And I was kind of having this thought yesterday when we had Brandon Marcello part of the panel. I think that Ole Miss might be getting forgotten about in SEC race right now. I get it, like, from Arkansas's perspective, you watch that and you're like, man, their defense stinks. I don't know if that – I mean, you have to give Arkansas's offense some credit, too, that they've
been
good.
Their defense was a lot better against Tulane last week.
It was, and I think that they have something with Chambliss as their quarterback. I just think that that's a game that kind of – it's favorable for them with the fact that LSU's offense hasn't been what anybody thought it would be. So that's, I mean, I almost say that this is kind of similar to the situation it was Arkansas, Ole Miss, from the perspective of like how I think that I think Ole Miss defensively is actually in a better spot than they would have been playing Arkansas. And then I think that they can still score some points against LSU. I'm going to go with Ole Miss. I think that, having that on their home field is important, too. Also, there's this drama this week because Lane Kiffin's daughter is apparently dating LSU's starting linebacker.
I was told we can't talk about that anymore. Can't we be? I was told by producer Sydney that we're too much like TMZ.
Oh, well, all I know is it's on the same week that a Lane Kiffin documentary comes out. It's almost like this one
feels a little forced.
It should be dramatic.
Yeah. Losing my voice today. Auburn at Texas A&M. Aggies ranked number 9. This is a 2:30 kickoff as well. This is going to be on ESPN. The Aggies are a 6.5-point favorite in College Station.
Yeah, and I like them to win as well. I think that I think that they've got something going with Marcel Reed right now, especially I think that Notre Dame game was big for him. I just think also College Station's a really hard place to play. I think Auburn, that's back-to-back weeks going into a tough place to play. And I think that last week probably took something out of them a little bit. It's, obviously they had the call that, or the lack of a call that didn't go in their favor. And I think that there's been so much placed on that this week that it's almost like, I don't know. It just seems like there's been a lot of like anger down there as far as we got gypped out of a game. And I'll be curious to see if they respond and they don't just like soak in this everybody's against us mentality.
I don't think Jackson Arnold has improved a whole lot going to Auburn. Mm-hmm. I don't trust their offense. I think A&M beats them at home. A&M's had a week off, I think, too, to prepare for this. Go back to Ole Miss real quick. I didn't give you my pick. I think Ole Miss wins. And I think I like LSU's defense. I think their defense is phenomenal. They can't score. Mm-hmm. And maybe that changes this week against Ole Miss. But based on what I've seen so far out of LSU and based on what I've seen so far out of Ole Miss, I'm going to take the team that has shown it can score.
And to that note, I think that you have to – Ole Miss, I think Arkansas had success because they have a quarterback that could run. I think that you might have to have that element against this Ole Miss defense, and I'm not sure Nussmeier can run all that well.
Tennessee, ranked number 15, going to Mississippi State. This is a 3:15 kickoff on SEC Network. Tennessee is 7.5-point road favorite.
Yeah, Mississippi State, jury's still out, in my opinion. I know they beat Arizona State. That was a big win for them, but I don't think Arizona State's all that good this year. I think Tennessee wins. I do think it's a tricky game for them, though, because Mississippi State's rolling with all that confidence right now. First 4-0 start there since, I think, that crazy good year they had. Was it 2014 with Dak Prescott?
That would have been, 2014.
Yeah, I think this is their first 4-0 since then, which is kind of crazy. But I think Tennessee's I like Coach Heupel. I think they put up some points and win that one.
Yeah, Tennessee. I like their offense. I think they've got a chance to win this one really big.
Yeah.
Let's see here. We'll go to the late game before we go to the other game. Kentucky at South Carolina, 6:45 kickoff on SEC Network. South Carolina 0-2 in the SEC, but they are a 5.5-point favorite at home.
I'm picking Kentucky, and I'm a big – I mean, go back and listen to my picks the previous weeks. I'm always picking against Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sold on South Carolina at all, and I think that Kentucky, their defense can really frustrate South Carolina. So I'm going to roll with Kentucky.
I'll go South Carolina. South Carolina wins this at home. I think I have a hard time seeing that team getting off to an 0-3 SEC start. You never know. Some games we won't pick. Utah State goes to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt ranked number 18 this week. UMass is at Missouri. Tigers are ranked number 20. Big SEC game of the week, obviously. Alabama at Georgia, 6:30 on ABC. This is part of an SEC-ABC triple header. Starts with Arkansas-Notre Dame, Ole Miss-LSU, Georgia-Alabama. I have a feeling there are going to be some people who listen to our podcast who never turn the channel.
True. And I think that this, I mean, it's kind of like a just a glorious Saturday. Like, as far as like these games back to back to back, I think Georgia wins this one, simply because I think that that game at night, in Sanford Stadium, I don't know. I think that by winning at Tennessee, they proved something to me, because they had to overcome some stuff that game. Mm-hmm. They really, I mean, barring a missed field goal, should have lost that game. But I think that that kind of got them back. They had some question marks early, too, with some – they didn't look great against, I think, Austin Peay. But Alabama, I just can't pick them to go on the road and beat them after watching that Florida State game.
And that's the thing. Alabama, they've got some road problems. Georgia's a 2.5-point favorite at home. Alabama, they've had road problems under Kalen DeBoer. I mean, whether it be losing at Vanderbilt last year, losing at OU, obviously played flat against Florida State to start this year. Last time Georgia lost a home game was 2019. Think about this for a second. We'd never heard of the House settlement. We'd never heard of COVID. Georgia hadn't won a national championship under Kirby Smart. Two of my kids weren't born yet.
Sam Pittman was there.
Sam Pittman was there. I actually remember the game. They were playing South Carolina, I think, at Sanford Stadium, and they lost it. It's been a long time since they lost at home. Like I said, Alabama's got some trouble on the road, it feels like. I think Georgia. Mm. It feels like every time that you doubt Kirby Smart's team, they kind of take that personally,
yeah,
like they did at Tennessee. I think they beat Alabama.
That was a crazy game last year. I think that Georgia wants some payback for that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they nearly won that one last year. Kind of interesting as I look at these lines. I've got ticket prices next to them. You look at LSU Ole Miss. Tickets started $195 for this game on the second or on the resale market. Alabama and Georgia starting at $354, $101 in College Station. They're at 51 in Fayetteville for Arkansas, Notre Dame. There is a lot of excitement in town, but I do feel like there has been a lot of cold water thrown on this game. And I go back to what I said the other day. If they beat Ole Miss, or let's say Ole Miss goes the way it actually happened, and they don't blow it against Memphis, I still feel like there's just a ton more excitement and buzz here in the city about this game this weekend. I expect it's going to be a really good crowd. I just don't know that it is going to be what it could have been, because there are a lot of people that are down on Razorback football right now.
Yeah, had they beaten Memphis, that would be – I mean, you can – I think recency with a fan base is such a thing, and you can look past –
You walk off Memphis with a field goal, I think people – they don't necessarily forget the 18-point blown lead, but I think they forgive it to a certain extent.
They forgive it. That's the thing, is it's your 3-1 – with Notre Dame coming to town with a chance to go 4-1 into a bye week. Now trying to go 3-2 into a bye week. So are we picking this game right
now? Yeah, let's pick it. Notre Dame's a 4.5-point favorite. By the way, the total has actually dropped to 63.5. What do they know that we don't know? Like why did the total start so low, and why is it dropping?
About to say, it's always alarming, but sometimes that's how they get you. You should have trusted your instinct, your initial instinct, and they bait you into
make
thinking
you doubt yourself.
Exactly. I think Arkansas matches up well offensively against their defense. I can't pick Arkansas though. Until the defense shows me something, I can't pick them right now. I think that actually I'll make this twofold. Till I see them at home consistently be able to have a home field advantage and take advantage of a buzzed up crowd. They did it against Tennessee last year. Credit for that. But I have a hard time picking them. I mean, I think that they could win. I think that it's going to be a high scoring game, like I said. but I can't trust this defense right now. Mm-hmm. And I also, it's not only that I can't trust the defense, I can't trust right now the offense to, if they have a chance to go win it, to not have a blunder. It's just, it feels to me not wise to pick Arkansas right now in any game for the rest of, on the rest of the schedule until they prove to you why you should pick them.
I'm kind of in the same boat. I picked Notre Dame to win. I'll tell you a couple of things that stand out to me. Number one, Notre Dame has played a better schedule to this point, and their two losses and Arkansas's two losses are not the same. Like based on how we view these teams right now, Miami might be the best team in the country, and mm-hmm. they're certainly one of the best. Texas A&M, we think that they're pretty good. And Notre Dame, they're 4 points away from potentially beating both of them, including Miami, on the road in a game where they look like they could have gotten blown out early. I don't know that Notre Dame's defense is as bad as we think it is. You look at the efficiency stuff that I talked about earlier in the week, they've had a lot of possessions. And so even though, yes, they've given up a lot of points, defensively through three games, you're not going to see a lot of teams that are having as many defensive possessions as Notre Dame has had. And, you know, for all the trouble they had against Texas A&M, they held a pretty good Miami offense in check for a good chunk of that game. One thing that I think might benefit Arkansas, and I'm really interested to see how this plays out tomorrow, is Notre Dame has a good run game. Obviously, they've got great running backs. Jeremiah Love may be the best back that we see all year. They don't have a running quarterback. And the running quarterback has been what has given Arkansas a lot of problems the last 3 weeks. So I'm interested to see how that dynamic works. Are they better against a more traditional run game, what we consider to be a more traditional run game, than they are against the mobile quarterback? But I'm with you. Until I see Arkansas's defense prove it on the field, I'm going to have a hard time picking them in these games against a team that I think is pretty good. And certainly Notre Dame offensively, for all the talk about their defense, their offense has been a very un-Notre Dame offense this year.
Let me tell you, if Arkansas tries to shoulder bump tackle Jeremiah Love, it's not going to go well.
That under the medical tent.
Yeah, he's physical and he's a hard runner. I mean, there's a reason why he's consensus number one running back in the draft class for this year. I mean, he's a dude, and he hurdles guys too. I mean, he's just a physical specimen. I mean, if you have Sam Pittman saying that he called Barry Odom, Purdue's coach, who was defensive coordinator at Arkansas, and is asking kind of for the scouting report, and Barry Odom says, "I think that's one of the best backs I've ever coached against." Hmm. I mean, like, I'll take Barry Odom's word on that. I think that, yeah, the little things that we've seen from Arkansas's defense with the tackling, that won't cut it against this guy.
Big weekend here in Fayetteville. I think there's volleyball, soccer going on tonight. Baseball's having an open scrimmage where they're expecting several thousand people in attendance, and obviously football going on with the Arkansas-Notre Dame game. Tomorrow we'll be back on our podcast here Monday to recap it all. Hope to see you then or at our website, wholehogsports.com. Have a great weekend, everybody.